We praise you that, Lord, we just believe that you want to bring righteousness into our land, Lord. You're the only one that can do it, Lord. You're the only one that has the power, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that you'll hold up the hands, Lord, of every one in government, Lord, that is striving to do righteously. The president on down, Lord, bless them richly and help them, Lord. Defeat the counsels of the wicked, we pray. Hallelujah. Sweep the wickedness from our land, Lord, no matter what it takes. No matter what it takes. We pray you'll give us a righteous government and righteous schools, righteous business, and that the fear of God will be returned to the United States of America. Grant that, Jesus. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, for the blood of the cross. Praise you, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed. Thank you, Lord, for dying for sinners, for your mighty resurrection, Lord, that you are in control. Lord, the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, but you are in control, Lord. Hallelujah. And you're coming again, Lord, with your royalty, your government, Lord. And that's the one we're waiting for. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Bless the families represented here, Lord. Cause us this night, Lord, forgive us our sins and grant that we may forgive those who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that we will know the mind of God, we'll be delivered from all deception, and that we will know your will, Lord, and be clear in our hearts and minds. Make a plain path because of our enemies. Well, help us tonight. We'll be careful to lift up the mighty name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's read in 1 Peter 4. I think it's 12 through 19. First Peter 4, 12 through 19. Okay, here we go. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the Christian and judgment. I had this topic picked out before Leslie spoke. So it's kind of a witness. Kind of a witness. All right, now this passage tells us that we are going to suffer. It says, don't think that it's strange when you suffer. Don't, figure the devil is doing it or anything. Because that commands us, don't think it strange, but do what? What does it say? Verse 13. Rejoice, inasmuch as we are partakers of Christ's sufferings, so that when his glory is revealed, it will make us all the more glad that we suffered with him. Goes on about reproach for the name of Christ. And then it says, do not suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody. But if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but glorify God. And then it says, why we suffer. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So, one, Christians are judged. You see that? The judgment begins at us. Christians are judged. The time has come. And we see also that the sufferings that we suffer, if we have not suffered because of sin, but have suffered because we're a Christian, that suffering on us is a judgment. Now, you don't hear that preached every day, but that's what the Bible says. So when we are judged of the Lord, the third thing that we notice is that judgment has already begun. In fact, the judgment of God's people began when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Spirit came down upon Jesus in what form? As a dove. In what form did the Spirit come down upon the people in the upper room? As tongues of fire. Why? Because that was the beginning of the judgment of God's people. See what Peter says? The time is come. And that was way back in the first century. The time is come that judgment must begin, and that's when it began. It began in the first century. The judgment of the world began in the first century. And the day of judgment began, and it began with those closest to God. Judgment is a good thing. See, judgment does not mean something bad. Judgment does not mean the execution of sentence. All that judgment means is to distinguish between what is good and what is evil. That's all it means. That's all it means. No more, no less. Judgment is the most desirable thing in the world that you can have, is to be judged. An unjudged Christian isn't worth the powder. Isn't worth the powder. And what we need in our land today is judgment. Not execution of sentence. Not destruction. Not slaughter. Not banging people the side of somebody's head in. What good does that do? What we need is judgment. We need a spirit of judgment. We need something to come and show in the church and in the country and in the world the difference between right and wrong. It would be a blessing if we could get one church filled with judgment. It would be an even greater blessing if we could get some person that God could count on to separate between the precious and the vile, to fear no man, to fear no consequences, but to judge purely as God judges, without regard to the consequences for himself. And to say, this is right and this is wrong. And I believe if God could get so much as one person, He could do an unbelievable amount of good if that person could not be moved, but would, regardless of anything, say, this is right and this is wrong. Now that's what we need. And that's why we suffer. It's because God is separating in our lives that which is right from that which is wrong. Praise the Lord. We need that. Oh, if there's anything we need in the United States of America, it's judgment, not destruction, but judgment, the distinguishing between what is right and what is wrong. What is Christ? What is Antichrist? What is the church? What is Babylon? To take forth the precious from the vile. To set a standard, a plumb line, a wall between what is right and what is wrong. And there is no judgment in the world today. Deceit, wickedness. And God is going to judge the world, but He has begun with the church. And He began 2,000 years ago. Because God begins with those who are closest to Him. And so what He's saying is, when you have a fiery trial, don't say, oh God, deliver me from every pain. Well, yeah, pray that way, but don't marvel if God doesn't do it. Because if it's a real tribulation from God, then it's working something desirable. It's teaching patience. It's separating patience from impatience. It's separating truth from error. It's separating lust from purity. It's separating con artistry from righteousness. It's working. It's working. All right, now notice he says in verse 18, if it first begin at us, verse 17, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So God started judging the world 2,000 years ago. And He started with the church. And He has not judged the world yet. He's still working on the church. Now, here's a question. If the righteous scarcely be saved, that means saved with difficulty. Now, I want to ask you a question. What does that mean? How, if Christ made a perfect redemption upon the cross, a perfect atonement, what does it mean that we're saved with difficulty? What's the matter? Isn't He adequate as a Savior? What is the difficulty? Huh? What does it mean the righteous are saved with difficulty, are scarcely saved? What does this mean? Are you scarcely saved? Am I scarcely saved? Is a Christian barely saved? What does it mean? The righteous are scarcely saved. Have you read my paper back there on two sons? Yeah. And you're still talking about righteousness as filthy rags? All right. Well, as Brother Dallas says, he can preach it and write it, but that doesn't mean anyone understands it. Maybe I don't understand it. All right. Saints, what it means is just what it says. And I think it's related to the verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So this is all the same bags. And it starts in verse 1, is that Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now what this is saying is that once you become a Christian, you're going to start being judged. And that judgment will take the form of a chastening. It will take the form of God's hand upon you to teach you through suffering so that you will not be condemned with the world. Praise the Lord. And if your mind is armed with that, if you are prepared to do that, then when it happens, you will take it rightly. But if, as sometimes Christians do, you run from it, or you jump out of God's prison and you say, this is too rich for my blood, you know, I'm not going to put up with this. That's where many a Christian marriage breaks up too soon. They say, well, my husband is not a big Christian, and so I can't stand this. He's not spiritual enough, so I'll go to a singles club in some church and find a nice spirit-filled Christian and marry him. Oh, what the land has come to. The Christian life, saints, is no bed of roses. It's as hard as anything ever was on God's earth. And when we try to make it a good time, we miss God. I'm not talking about going out and beating yourself. You don't have to do that. You don't have to build any hurdles. All you have to do is jump them. And I'm telling you, this is a cross-carrying, fiery business. And there's many a day when we thank God if we made it to the evening meal and slept that night. That's the true Christian life. And that's what it's saying. If we will put up with this judgment, then God is preparing us for this first resurrection. He's preparing us for the time when we can be raised up to meet the Lord and be ever with him. And so he's saying the righteous, that is those who behave themselves, not the righteous by imputation, but those of righteous behavior, are scarcely saved. Where will the ungodly appear? Okay, we're talking about the Christian and judgment. All right, now we turn to Malachi, the third chapter. You know, one of the most comforting subjects in the Bible is judgment. That's why David said, try me. Look and see if there's any wicked way. He didn't say, Lord, don't look at it. Don't let me know. I'd rather not know. He said, oh God, search me. Search me. That's judgment. That's judgment. The wise Christian asks God to judge him constantly. Constantly. Anytime you have a doubt about something, in your mind, Lord, send the fire on it. Send the fire on it. Send a double dose. Send enough so I get the point. Yes. Yes, we're the ones that suffer in the flesh and cease from sin. Sure, certainly. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. That isn't Jesus. He never lived in his flesh to the lusts of men. See, that's talking about us. It's saying just as Christ suffered, so we suffer. See? For when we suffer in the flesh, you cease from sin. Have you ever noticed that? There's another verse that says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Okay? And it's a chastening. If we're without chastening, we're not sons. And God's judgment on us is a chastening of our flesh. And if we arm ourselves to suffer, we make it fine. But if we begin to think, the Lord doesn't expect me to suffer. Oh, you see, people will go out and commit sin because I want that so bad and I know that God wants me to be happy. Then they sin. See, because they don't understand how God works. This flesh of ours is a Carlsbad cavern of wickedness. Don't ever forget that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's a Carlsbad cavern of wickedness. And it takes a lifetime of discipline, of cross-carrying obedience, of patience, of patient waiting upon the Lord to ever come to know God's plan. And you don't see many Christians doing it, because once that fire comes near them, they run like 60. I've seen people run out of prayer meetings because in here there's something buried there and they're not going to face it. And when the Spirit begins to probe, they begin to get shifting around. You can see them begin to shift around. And pretty soon they just remembered they got an appointment with the babysitter. Because it seems that the saints who are willing to open up totally to God and hear everything He has to say are as scarce as hen's teeth. You can get Christians that talk a good fight, sing like birds, smile, support the church, do everything. But they are not willing to have the probe of God go into that deep part and dig and dig and dig and touch that nerve to where they look up to God in the fullness of His light. I haven't seen many like that. And it takes a lot of suffering. And it takes a lot of, this, as Brother Dow was saying, this dozier. It takes that to walk with God. Stalwart, ramrod, obedient, chin out, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. How many Christians in America can hear that word? They're soft. Soft. And they don't realize what it means to be a real Christian. It means a mind to suffer and a willingness to bear day in and day out, day in and day out, delayed gratification, deferred gratification, to see everything that you've counted on brought down into dust, all your idols gone, everything, every hope, every ambition, until there's nothing left. Nothing. That's what it takes to go all the way with God. Try it some other way. Go ahead. But I'll tell you the truth in Jesus' name. That's what it takes to be a true saint. And it seems sometimes that God is unmerciful. We have a false God being preached to us. It's not the God of heaven. Aaron's two sons went in there, inexperienced boys, evidently tippling a little. Went in, Aaron had four sons, two of them went into the Holy of Holies. Fire come out, slew them. How do you think Aaron felt? God says, don't show any sign of grief. Don't cover yourself. Don't just go about your priestly business. We're serving that same God. He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And we're supposed to look at that suffering. Did you ever hear a pig being slaughtered? How many in here have ever heard a pig being slaughtered? Did you ever hear such an ungodly scream in your life? Well, when the fires of judgment roast the Lord Jesus Christ, it was just like that. There was nothing left. That bread was baked until every kernel of flour in that thing was brown. That was God's judgment. We say, oh, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's our definition of grace. What an abomination. We need to consider what it cost. What it cost. And that's God's love. That man hanging there on the cross. That wounded, beaten, rotten, bleeding mass That's God. That's the way God deals. As Christ has suffered for us, arm yourself with the same mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourself a living sacrifice. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the burnt. That's talking about the first of the Levitical sacrifices in chapter 1. The sacrifice for which the altar was named. The sacrifice of the burnt offering. It's not a sin offering. It was not a peace offering. It was not a trespass offering. It was a burnt offering. Just given to where you take your animal. The priest wouldn't slay it. You had to slay it. That's your bull. Here's the knife. And you had to slay your own bull. They didn't slay your bull for you. You slayed your own bull. It was not a sin offering. It was not a for anything except you were saying, God, here I am. Consume me in your fire. The burnt offering. So important that the altar was named after that. It's not called the altar of sin offering. The altar of peace offering. It's called the altar of burnt offering. Praise the Lord. And when you stood and you watched that bull being burned, that was your life going up. We don't have that now. We can't bring a bull. We can't bring one day out of seven. We can't bring a fragment of what we are and say, God, I'll give you this and you give me that. I'll give you a seventh of my time. You give me the rest of the week. I'll give you a part of my money. You give me the rest. I'll give you this. Playing badminton with God. You can't do that anymore. You bring yourself. You bring yourself as the bull. And God allows you, he has his way of binding the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. And I tell you, it takes all the prayer and everything to stay on that thing. The fire of God comes down till there's nothing left. Every grain of wheat, everything. And the fire of God goes through, testing every motive, testing what you are, what you have been, what you hope to be. Every word, every thought, every imagination burn till it's a beautiful brown. Not half-baked. Not brown on one side and milky on the other. But turn and brown and roasted. The righteous. Scarcely. That's the true everlasting life, saints. That's the true stuff. That's the real stuff. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Does that explain that, Sister Dawn? The sacrifice we offer, what? The sacrifice, huh? That's the way to walk, is in repentance. If you're in doubt, repent. Malachi 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. People are looking for the Lord, aren't they? Oh, Lord, come. Oh, Lord, come. Lift me up into your presence. Oh, Lord. Oh, if the Lord would only come. Oh, boy. You talk about out of the frying pan. On top of the glowing coals, brother. As if you run from a lion, a bear bites you. I don't intend to preach on this tonight, but I'm enjoying myself. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. What is the temple of the Lord? This human heart. The Holy Spirit said through Stephen, the Lord will not dwell in temples made with hands anymore. This is the temple. The Lord whom you seek shall come to his temple. That's what Peter's saying. The time has come. Judgment. That's when the Lord came. 2,000 years ago, he came to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? That's the question. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, strong laundry soap. Not your nice, not Dove or Tab or Bomb or something else. the real stuff, lion ash. Just take the hide right off you. Fuller's soap. Huh? I don't see that much anymore. You got all this fancy stuff. Smells like perfume. This smells like soap. Laundry soap. Big bar of laundry soap. Burn the hide right off you. You got any in your eyes? Why, you wouldn't be well for the rest of the day. But if you said a nasty word, your mother would wipe your mouth out with it. And that, you'd know something happened. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He doesn't purify. What shall I say? God doesn't work with the flesh. He works with what he has put in us. He refines silver, not wood. Silver. He puts the silver of redemption in us. And then he boils it, cooks it. He doesn't refine the flesh. You can't refine the flesh. You can't put the flesh through the fire. You have to put the silver through the fire. You put the flesh through the fire, you won't have anything left. You can't, you bring tribulation on a man that's unsaved, you get nothing out of it but grief. You put tribulation on a real Christian, and what you keep getting is more strength, and more strength, and more strength. It's just like a tea bag. The longer you leave it in the hot water, the stronger the tea is. But you've got to have the silver in there to begin with, because God is not refining wood. He's refining silver. He gives us the silver, and then he refines it. And then something comes out of it, because it's divinity that is being refined. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. See, you cannot work with wood. The lampstand is gold. You can't beat wood into shape. You can't purify wood and then beat it into shape. You have to purify gold and beat it into shape. And we are not gold. God is gold. We are wood. Wood represents humanity. Gold represents deity. Silver represents redemption in the scripture. So God gives us of his gold, but it is unrefined. And it is formless. And so our judgment that happens is the fire of the Lord comes on us, and that which he has put in us is refined, 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 refined. You know, I think God would go to great lengths to get a half a dozen people that would go through a process like this with him. Praise the Lord. That's right. Half a dozen. That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And since I didn't mean to preach on this, I haven't done my homework, but there's a verse in Isaiah, and I think it's 26. Could be 28. Brother Dowell, I heard this first in Bible school. And I want the one that says about the munitions of rocks. Oh, where's that one? I'm trying to think how it goes. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who shall stand before the consuming fire? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Now, where is that? It's around Isaiah 26. Not stammering lips, but about this. Come on, somebody with your concordance. Where does it say, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites? And who among us shall stand with the consuming fire? I found it. 33. I'll tell you how I remember this. I was in Bible school one morning, and what they used to do, Brother Dow used to lay it on the local ministry to come and minister. Well, you could see they weren't getting used to getting up that early. And so this one preacher, and I think it was Brother McQuinney, if I remember. Floyd McQuinney, I think. But I'm not sure. It could have been Star Thomas. It could have been Ben Hardin. Maybe it was Ben Hardin. I don't know. But one of them came, and he came in, and he was rubbing his eye. I just looked at the fire. I thought, he had a late preaching last night. And he, you could see, he was groping for the anointing and feeling for the word for the morning, for the day. And he preached on this passage. I've never forgotten that passage. And that was in 1948. I have never forgotten that passage. Isaiah 33. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously. You have to walk righteously. This is Isaiah 33:15. And speaketh uprightly. This is how you can dwell in the presence of God. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. You know, we've become confused under the New Testament. We have, and I've written on this, I'm on the foundations now. This last month I've been on the foundations of our belief. I've got one back there on two sons that illustrates it. There's two more coming up. They'll be here next week, God willing. They're already going toward the printer. One's called What It Means, The Just Shall Live by Faith, which may be an eye-opener. Another one is called The Christian in Judgment. And it gets at the root of what we believe. And see, we're in deception. We are in deception. We are in deception. We believe, by we I mean we evangelicals, we believe that the grace of God in Jesus Christ means that we are exempt from such passages on the basis of belief. That's basically what we believe. And it's based on a misconception of the doctrine of the scripture, the just shall live by faith. And I've got it written down, and I've got it clearly as I can get it, and it shows what that verse means. It's from Habakkuk 2:4, and it does not mean that if you make a profession of faith that you're justified. It does not mean that. It's a contrast between pride and humility. Read it in Habakkuk 2:4. It's talking about the faith of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the faith that produces righteous behavior. Praise the Lord. It's not talking about theological faith. It's talking about the faith that will produce righteous walking, speaking uprightly. You mean to tell me a man has faith and he doesn't speak uprightly? Huh? What does James say? James says a man is justified by works as well as by faith. And he says, faith works with the works. That's the second chapter of James. And faith without works is dead. And we have gone crazy on this doctrine, and the land is full of unrighteous. They say, I believe, but their works show that they do not believe. They deny him. You can confess Christ with your mouth and deny Christ with your actions. If you have faith, it will show. You will speak uprightly. Such a passage as this doesn't change from covenant to covenant. It isn't as though in those days a Jew had to do uprightly, but we don't have to do uprightly. But that's what is believed. It's a misunderstanding of Isaiah 1:18, and Jim brought that out. So hopefully we'll have those next week. Now, this applies to us, brother, sister. It applies to us full bore. He that shakes his hand from holding a bribe. How many preachers today have destroyed their testimony? One was written up about 2 weeks ago in the L.A. Times. They gave him about 10 pages and took him apart nuts and bolts. There's nothing left, Brother Dow. There is nothing left. They just systematically, just that reporter must have been a skilled writer. I mean, talented. No emotion, nothing. He just took the facts and he just took that poor man apart and left him nothing. One of the most famous preachers in the world. You can preach. You can bring in people by the millions. You can be a household word. You can write books. You can do as you want, brother. But if you take bribes and don't shake your hands and walk that way, you have disqualified yourself. You are not in it. They're not in the race. They're not in the race anymore. No, sir. I don't care who you are, where you've been, or what you can do, brother. But the Bible says, depart from me, you who work iniquity. And there is no confession of faith, there's no works, no speaking in tongues, no prophecy, or anything else that is a substitute from this passage. This is judgment. This is what God means by judgment. And there needs to be a voice in the land that proclaims that from coast to coast. The preachers that have that kind of a testimony better hang up their stuff and set up their own house in order, because they're facing an angry Christ. I don't care what their works are. And I don't care who they are. There's nothing that God will accept. God hates this kind of thing, holding bribes. Stops his ears from hearing blood. He won't listen to it. He will not listen to gossip. He won't hear it. And shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He will not watch it. He doesn't become skillful. Brother Fullerton told a younger minister. He's not a younger minister anymore. He's 70 years old. Brother Reed. I guess someone said he's 70 years old. I can't picture it. But Brother Fullerton, Brother Reed, I can remember, in 48, was complaining because he said he went to the conference of ministers and the evil was getting him down in the conference. And Brother Fullerton told him to get out of there. Get out of there if you can't take it. Huh? Shut your eyes from seeing evil. Don't dwell on it. Don't look at it. Don't talk about it. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. God knows there's enough iniquity. And look at your reward. He shall dwell on high. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. You, in those days, with their weapons, you get a man up on high and surrounded with rocks, he was impregnable. He was absolutely impregnable. And what the Spirit's saying, I will make you impregnable. You can't be hit if you'll do these things. Bread shall be given him. His sustenance is certain. Time of famine, he will eat. His waters shall be sure. And best of all, thine eyes shall see the King. Do you know that righteousness gives you sight? Remember Peter talked about all these virtues? And he said, and he mentions, you know, all the wonderful virtues of the Christian life. He says, he that lacks these things is blind. See? The reason people can't see and they're confused is because of sin. When we do these things, it gives us spiritual sight. We can see, we walk seeing the land that is very far off. We see the King and his beauty. It opens our eyes. We can see because we have discerned. We have separated the precious from the vile. We have taken the fiery judgment of God. We have applied it to ourselves. What did John say? Matthew 3, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His fan will be in his hand? No. His fan is in his hand. And he shall thoroughly purge his floor. Fans the chaff. Says he shall gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he shall burn with unquenchable fire. When the Holy Spirit fell, you see, it was a baptism of fire, because it came down not as a dove, but in tongues of fire. Saints, the time has come that judge. I didn't have a chance to take you over into John 5:24 and show you where Jesus said, he that believes in me shall not come into judgment. You need to see that, because you read that, you say, ooh, boy, it contradicts St. Peter. Imagine Jesus contradicting St. Peter, or Peter contradicting Jesus. But we've got that down in writing to show you where that comes together, and some little anecdotal parables to show you how this comes together. No, when we come to the Lord removes us from the judgment that hovers over the world. We're without condemnation. But then the Lord personally chastens us and judges us and puts the fire on us so that we answer only to him and not to the wrath of God. That's where it comes together. Well, that's a deep topic, and we don't have time to go into it anymore tonight. That was enough for tonight anyway. Praise the Lord. Saints, God's going to judge his church in this nation. It hasn't happened yet, but it's starting to happen. It's starting to happen. And it will happen with the people that are closest to God. And when it does, we're not to think it strange. We're not to say, oh, God's left me. What's happening? How come I'm not happy? Or anything of the kind. We're just to recognize that the righteous are saved with great difficulty. And if God all our days is dealing with us in the fire of His judgment, testing every word, every motive, every action, looking for pride, sin, lust, self-seeking, and we make it through, and we can, he that endures to the end shall be saved. We can. It's going to take everything we got. But what is going to happen to the ungodly? Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because the judgment of God is the most wonderful thing that we know. Lord, I can remember when you picked me up, Lord, a heathen, with no knowledge of God, no religious training, no background, not knowing up from down. And Lord, by your goodness, you led me into salvation. You led me to learn the Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, through your goodness, you surrounded me, Lord, with teachers who taught me that there is more to Christianity than the four steps of salvation. There is a life to be lived. And Lord, I thank you that I saw and have seen people who had the real stuff. I thank you for that, Lord. I know it's only your grace that this is permitted, Lord, to us to have been able to see people who were really anointed of God, who really knew you, Lord, not just about you, but who really knew you. And I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, in the day in which we live, Lord, that you raise up many, Lord, who cry in the land, not the current jazz, the entrepreneurial Christianity, the numbers game, Lord, but some that will go back to the roots and will cry out to God for reality and judgment, righteousness, purity, holiness, and the fear of God. Oh, Lord, that's my cry. I know it's the cry of many, Lord. Granted, in our nation, we need it badly, Lord, that there may be enough intercession to spare our country from destruction. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every righteous one in every prayer. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let your righteous spirit be on us tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 barakahanalavakahasiliyah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, let's just stand and look to God for just a minute. Hallelujah, let's just look up unto Him. Oh, barakahasikisiliyarabahanalavahashikisiliyarabahaya. Oh, yes, Lord, we give glory unto your holy name. We give glory unto your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, for the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. We praise you for it, Lord. Oh, let it be upon us, Lord. We do not run from it, Lord. We embrace it because we know it will bring peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we just cry, Lord, for a baptism of fire. Oh, Lord, let it come upon us, Lord, every word, every deed, what we are, Lord. Oh, that all that is not of you, Lord, will be burned away from our lives, Lord. Hallelujah, burn every bondage just as you did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord. Burn away that, Lord, which is not right in thy sight. Hallelujah, come down, Lord, into our minds this night, Lord. Purge our minds with the fire of thy burning, Lord. Hallelujah, that we may have the mind of Christ. Oh, God, that we may arm ourselves to suffer, Lord. That we may consider Jesus, hallelujah, who went before us. Praise, praise God, praise God. Let your fire be in our hands and our actions and our deeds. Let it be, Lord, in our spirit. speech, Lord, that every word may be tried. Maybe silver, maybe apples of gold and pictures of silver. Oh, God, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, for every tribulation, Lord, every inconvenience, every distress, everything. Lord, we know we're under the mighty hand of our God. We know we're under the chastening of our Father who loves us, Lord. Oh, to make us partakers of your holiness, hallelujah. Cleanse us, Lord. We would not see evil. We would shut our ears from hearing of blood. Lord, we would shake our hands from the holding of bribes. Lord, we would walk uprightly before Thee. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, we have a need of righteousness in our land. We have a need of fire. We have a need of judgment. We have a need of separating the precious from the vile. Oh, God, help our country, Lord. Help our president. Help all those at the prayer breakfast, every one of them, Lord, burn it into their hearts and minds, Lord, that every one of us must stand in our place round about the camp. Lord, without fear of the faces of clay. Oh, hallelujah, pronouncing what is right and what is wrong. Oh, God. Oh, God, that God may be entreated for the land. Lord, we know the sword of judgment hangs heavily on us. Oh, God, we know that, Lord, and we know it's because of our iniquities. God, help us, help us, help us, Lord, as a nation, Lord, as a church, to repent of our sins, oh, to seek Thy face, to serve God in truth. We're a needy people, Lord. We're a needy people. We're a needy people, Lord, and our sins have covered us like a blanket. Jesus, help us. Send judgment in the land, righteousness, the burning of Thy holy word. Cause Thy ministers to arise up as men of God, as prophets of old, to proclaim Thy word, Lord. And the television, Lord, enough of this telling people how much God loves them. God, they need to hear that God is concerned about their behavior. Help us, Lord. Give us a word over the radio. Jesus, in every country, every village, every hamlet in this land, that God may be entreated for our nation. Oh, we need help, Lord. We need help. We need help from on high. We need help, God. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight, Lord. You're so wonderful. Help each one of us as individuals, Lord, to be a burning and a shining light, to speak the truth, do the truth, live the truth, be the truth. Without fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You went before us. And I know, Lord, you ask who will go outside the camp with me bearing my reproach. And Lord, grant that we will be those, Lord, who will go outside the camp, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Setting aside, Lord, our own brief existence, that we might give ourselves to the gospel, to the testimony, Lord, to Thy person and will and way in the land. God, there might be a clear witness. Oh, God, grant it unto us, Lord, that we may do our part. Oh, hallelujah, blessed Jesus, You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord, that we should lay down our lives for Your glory. You're worthy, Jesus, that we should lay down our lives, that Your slightest will may be done. That we would take the whole alabaster box, Lord, and break it on You. Not anoint Your handkerchief, Lord, but break it on Your head. Lord, consider it wasted. Consider it anointing Thee, Lord, upon Thy whole person. Oh, Jesus, all that we are and all that we have, let it be as that box of perfume, Lord. Oh, we love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, blessed Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know You hear us. We know the issues and the stakes are great. Lord, I see it. I feel it coming. Lord, and I pray that everyone in this room, Lord, will never forget what Peter said. Think it not strange. Think it not strange. Help us to stand, Lord, in that which is coming. Stand, 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 stand. Hallelujah. That many, many multitudes will see the steadfastness. Lord, as they're swept away by the tides that are coming. Lord, that they'll see us standing and we'll be able to throw out the Word of God as a lifeline that they clutch, Lord, to keep their sanity, to keep their strength, Lord. I see it coming. I see the turmoil. I see the waves. Oh, God, grant that we'll stand through it all. Jesus as the light that burns, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Grant that we'll stand, Lord, and the righteousness will prevail yet in the United States of America. It'll rise up once more, a righteous, God-fearing people with godly schools and a godly government, a godly people with a reputation for godliness. Grant, Lord, there'll be a remnant left that will stand, Lord, in this country, for God, for His kingdom. That's our prayer. Hallelujah, blessed Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. So Jesus, Thou art worthy, O Lord, Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be Thy name. 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 Blessed be Thy name.
in one of the seminars yesterday, over 120 foreign nations represented at a prayer breakfast and then in seminars. There was a gentleman who had labored many years in Poland. Poland is over 90% Catholic. This man labored amongst them. And on his word, authority, and I think he's in a place to speak. He knows the Archbishop, talks to him, prayer with him. That they estimate over one-third of all the Catholics of Poland are charismatic. I think that that is the need the world around. That when they know about the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, there's a way out. Old Brother Fuller, on his program years ago, had a course. There was a way out of the wilderness. I think the Lord can help people anywhere. We don't know the sadness of many nations. We only judge the world by the way we live in our little area. 30 years ago or so, in the move, it was labeled Latter Rain. Brother Thompson became active then. He put out a little pamphlet, syllabus of a kind. What was the name on judgment? The Last Judgment? Something about the Last Judgment. This was the theme in those days when that move came about. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. We're the house of God. And he wrote quite a pamphlet that it's a time that we judge ourselves. And if ever was another day, as a cycle rolls around in 30 years, a day to quit judging everybody else and get down to brass tacks and judge this self. It's me, O Lord, standing. And when you get to that place, you can help somebody else and nobody else. Until this fellow. We have copy it to the old judgment made, Brother. Brother Thompson might like to read it and we'll run it off again. Provided he doesn't want it copyrighted. I can't stand a copyright. Because I think the world needs to see it and read it. Have it duplicated without money. Is that all right? I think it is. Father Knapp, would you dismiss us?
Gracious Father, thank you for that presence. To thank thee, O Lord God, and praise thee.
Yes.
God, for the service, O Lord.
Yes.
God. We thank you for the word, O Lord God, and the embrace of the Lord.
Praise God.
We glorify thee, O Lord God, and we thank thee, O Lord Jesus, this night. Bless each one, O Lord God, of the families, O Lord God. Bless them. Care for them, O Lord God. Protect them.
Yes.
Grant it. O Lord God, to our heart. And we give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ.
I think Brother Thompson did extra well tonight. You ought to shake his hand. Everybody shake hands. Amen. Amen. Sound like the old days.